Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be a part of. I look upon you with loving thoughts in my heart when I think that I have a chance to share a little reasoning, perhaps, or where we can draw our minds in from the evil in the world. I know oftentimes ministers will use the term draw our minds in from the world. But I say from the evil in the world because there's good there also. I think I chose six subjects today for this sermon this evening, and maybe I'll touch on some of them a little bit. But the subject I was thinking of particularly was the gospel. So I was thinking, gospel. Good news, I used to hear that referred to as that. But I did look it up in my old copy of the concordance. It may be a little out of date. It said some things there. It said that in the Old Testament, they referred to it in the concordance as God's story. In the New Testament, they referred to it as the Christ story. You know, we have those things in our minds, you know. And we wonder, all of you, where did you first hear about the Lord? All of you don't have a chance to answer that, perhaps. Maybe none of you would really want to answer it. But yet, let's think about that a little bit. I was trying to think when I first encountered it. Of course, I was one of those that I sometimes refer to as born with a gold spoon in my mouth. My parents were touched by God, and they were making the effort to be children, followers of God, take upon us the attitude and the obedience of a little child of God. It's easy for us to grow up and become a man of the world, or a woman of the world, but to become a little child, meek and submissive, easily entreated. We could perhaps take a moment to examine ourselves. Are we in the faith, or perhaps not? Do we need to? And if we are having a problem in our lives, maybe, if we have a problem, does Satan whisper to us, well, you're just too far out, you're going to have to give up too much to get back? Is this something? You know, last week we was privileged with a sermon from Brother Leslie Case up at the Calgary Local. And he said, serving the Lord gives you a chance to live without regret. No one ever regrets a service to God. Is not this true? It touched this particular statement. He made many other good statements, but this one touched my heart. I've always described happiness to me as a clear conscience before God, because God's plan is a plan of happiness. And when we serve God, we are a happy people. We can become into their scriptures, much writing about the bonds of iniquity and the gall of bitterness and all those things that come from disobedience. The children of disobedience are not a happy people, even though they do have maybe momentary minutes of joy. Like I say, I made many notes. Don't be afraid, folks. I'm not going to read all of them. But I'd like to read a little bit here from, maybe the third chapter of Alma. I ain't no bookmarks, but I think we'll find it. Alma the high priest. He spoke to the church, and I'll read a little bit from starting with the I've got marked here the seventh verse, so we'll just start there. Maybe I know, remembered what I was doing. And we were brought into this land, and here we began to establish the church of God throughout this land also. And now, behold, I say unto you, my brethren, you that belong to this church, have ye sufficiently retained in remembrance the captivity of your fathers? Yea, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance his mercy and long suffering towards them? And moreover, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance that he has delivered their souls from hell? Behold, he changed their hearts. Yea, he awakened them out of a deep sleep, and they awoke unto God. Behold, they were in the midst of darkness. Nevertheless, their souls were illuminated by the light of the everlasting word. Yea, they were circled about by the bands of death and the chains of hell, and everlasting destruction did await them. And now I ask of you, my brethren, were they destroyed? Behold, I say unto you, nay, they were not. And again I ask, were the bands of death broken, the chains of hell which encircled them, were they loosed? I say unto you, yea, they were loosed, and their souls did it expand, they did sing redeeming love. And I say unto you that they are saved. Now I ask of you, what conditions are they saved? On what conditions? Yea, what grounds had they to hope for salvation? We ask ourselves this question. What will be if I'm allowed to testify when I stand before the judgment bar of God? Can I say these things? Behold, I can tell you, did my father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? And was he not a holy prophet? Did he not speak the words of God? My father Alma believed them. And according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true. Behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and a mighty change was wrought in their hearts. They humbled themselves, put their trust in the true and living God, and they were faithful unto the end. Therefore, they were saved. Oftentimes, we mention the term endure to the end, and we perhaps ask ourselves, what do we endure? A day-to-day life? Maybe that's not an endurance, maybe it's a privilege that God gives us breath from moment to moment. If thankfulness enters our heart, then the thing that mars our endurance becomes an endurance of temptation, perhaps. Drawn away and enticed by things that are not according to the will of God. The invitation has gone out to you and me to be good people, to be members of a church, to do the will of Him who created us and receive the rewards thereof. When Janice come forward this evening to read the singing, I thought I'd like to go up and say to her, I'd like to hear you sing 384. How pleasing it is to behold and see the friends of Jesus all agree. To sit around His sacred board as members of one common Lord, I feel like many of us partook of the emblems of the broken body and the spilt blood of Christ. Remembering this greatest example of love that there is in this world. And we have, by the enlightening of the Spirit, know that we can partake of these things for the benefit of our soul, that we might ever remember Him and always have His Spirit to be with us. Is it hard to serve God? Well, if I say no, they'll say, why didn't you do a little better job, Lord? So, but I would say that the joy of serving God is a joy beyond description. In the first chapter of Mark, you know, we read in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, things that he's put there by his Spirit for the edification, for the joy of you and me. And it's been my privilege to hear many, many sermons. I've heard so many more than I preached. I'm thankful for that. And among those many sermons, I often retain some little something. Many ministers perhaps have some little theme that's included in every one. And there's a beloved brother I'm looking at right now that mentions perfection usually in every one of his sermons. And I heard it when he spoke it, the many times I've had privilege to hear that. And I thought to myself, perfection. And then I read a little in the scripture. Well, getting away from it. Maybe I'll get back to where I was at. But I'm going to diversify just one moment here. There's another thought that comes to me here concerning this perfection thing. Reading from the first verse of the sixth chapter of Hebrews, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Foundations for perfection. We could say obedience, but it's more than obedience. It's reaching out for the guidance of God. You know, there was a vision recorded in the early part of the Book of Mormon of both Lehi and Nephi, in the which they saw this tree, most beautiful, most lovely. And Lehi bore testimony, he partook of this, and the fruit thereof was produced a joy that was beyond any, almost beyond description, I take it, although there is a good description there. And Nephi, he saw the same thing. And they saw this rod of iron that led by the waters and through the mists of darkness, that you could cling to, that would take you to this pure love of God, which passes understanding, my beloved brother Sheldon often says, the love of God that passes understanding. And this rod of iron, I could read that, I've got a note here, I could find it easy, but I'll just say, it is the Word of God. And when we think of the Word of God, what comes to our mind? Well, we certainly think of the written Word. Because when Satan tempted the Lord, he says, if you're hungry, command these stones to be made bread. But he says, not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Words of power spoken the world was. Words of love. Come unto me, ye weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Find rest to your souls. Place of rest and peace was prepared for the saints. Call it paradise. And the Word, coming back to the Word, maybe we would go to the Word again. We'd read maybe over in, I'm kind of drifting away from what little notes I had. Bear with me though. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Reading from the 9th verse of the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day wherein the heavens are on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But coming back to what I referred to here, I wanted to touch on that as I went by, but I would go back to the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to which, according to his begun abundant mercy, has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But I wanted to talk about the word, the wholeness of the word itself, the word God. Well, I'll read that too. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that it was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The Word. So we grasp that rod of iron that leads us to the pure love of God with our minds, with our thoughts. We seek the guidance of this. It's been my privilege to hear many sermons concerning the 10 virgins. And we know they waited to go out when the bridegroom or the second coming of the Lord. Perhaps we'll use that as a thought of what that was really meaning. But when they started out, some did not have light. Their lights had gone out. So our thought this evening, when we've got a little time together to talk and think on these things, is how do we keep our light bright? What darkens our light? It is sin. The beloved disciple says there's no darkness at all. You know, Peter spoke in here, and I thought of a reading that. He said, we have the sure word of prophecy as a light that shineth. Prophecy. God has set some in the church I mentioned earlier, first apostles, secondarily prophets. A prophecy. Do we think, what do we think about prophecies? Let's read a little bit concerning a word or two, a line or two of prophecy. I think every one of you can quote this if I don't find it, but I probably will find it. Yes. Jesus said, are we back to the gospel? I wonder. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Moses said, the prophet likened to myself, the Lord raise up, and then shall ye hear him in all things. And this prophet, Jesus Christ, he said, the word must go out, and it did, and it has. It's written. It's touched our hearts. It's been testimonies of it from the very beginning. From perhaps we could go back to Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. We could go to Melchizedek, who was the Prince of Peace, who taught repentance, taught people to get right with God. The scripture is full of the cleansing of the Spirit of God. When you and I are baptized, the Spirit given to us at that time can take the things of the Father into us, reveal things to come, a spirit of prophecy perhaps. It saith, Lord, and if you do not do the will of me, of whom you've been taking the name of this day, you shall be a partaker of damnation, like it says right here. Some prophecies we should take heed as the light that shineth, burn away the darkness that is in our lives. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, speak with new tongues. More prophecies, perhaps. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Yes, it's a part always of the teachings of the Lord. When the great light shone down upon Paul on the way to Damascus, he said, the Spirit was probably been working with him, because the Lord told him, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. But they sent him to Ananias, who would lay hands upon him, that he might receive the Holy Ghost and his sight back. I do lots of thinking about sight. Especially right now, I'm supposed to take a driver's test. My driver's license run out, and I'm old, dim at times. But you know, I think of the sight. I was almost blind once, restored the sight. And I've used and misused that sight all these many years. I'll read a little bit from the teachings. Maybe I will. You know, sometimes people become somewhat worried about one particular, I call the temptation, or a terrible time of that we look forward to. And that is when they mention in the Revelation the mark of the beast. And I had a friend that I worked at the factory, and he said he was about to have a nervous breakdown worrying about that. But I thought of so many scriptures. It seemed to be the thought would be that you would be forced to become a child of Satan. And I think we have ample evidence in the scripture that says this shall not be so. Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Our Lord is stronger than the wiles of Satan. He sent his mighty angel, and he took him, bound him. This is scripture of that. We have a chance. Certainly there's temptations are allowed, that the trial of our faith might work patience, and patience might have our perfect work. I thought I'd read a little bit from James, first chapter of James, if I find it pretty quick here. Well, I'm getting close. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. I believe this is a part of our gospel, our good news. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in it is made low, as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed? Do we feel blessed when we endure temptation? No, I don't think so. I confess to you, I don't feel very blessed. But if I endure it and don't give in to it, then cometh that peace of heart. Then cometh that patience that we rely on, that carries us through the rough places in our lives. Your patience possesses you, your soul also, saith the scripture. Blessed is that man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Are we coming toward that perfection? Maybe so. I'd like to read a little bit in the Book of Mormon. Concerning righteousness, I don't think we can hardly talk about gospel without touching on righteousness a little bit. Page 675 I have here. Jesus says, therefore, on page 675, verse 5, therefore, what manner of men had ye ought to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am, and now I go unto the Father. And verily I say unto you, whatsoever things ye shall ask the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. Therefore ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And now behold, my joy is great even unto fullness because of you. And also this generation, even the Father rejoices, and all the holy angels, because of you, of this generation, for none of them are lost. Behold, I would that you understand that I mean those who are now alive of this generation. None of them are lost, and in them I have fullness of joy. But behold, it sorrowed me because of the fourth generation from this generation, for they're led away captive by him, even the son of perdition, for they will sell me for silver, for gold, which for that which moth doth corrupt, which thieves break through and steal. And another prophecy in verse 10, I didn't mark it. And in that day I will visit them, even in turning their works upon their own heads. We have promises, prophecies. But the joy he's experienced with the righteous, I feel like perhaps that I could say with my little bit of knowledge that I look upon your faces this evening, and there's many who I would class like us who are here. Maybe we're giving the Lord some joy. Is it a pleasant thought? There's joy in heaven over the repentance of a sinner. How do we know we're a sinner? Does not that little voice that God give us to all flesh, doesn't it touch our hearts? Back before the world was destroyed by water, back in the days of Noah, he said the imagination of their hearts was evil continually. And don't you imagine that the still small voice of God was whispering to them, you're not thinking the right things. How do we purify our thoughts? There's many things, but all we really have to do is submit unto God. We come back to that little child. Because he'll take care of us. He'll draw us into the pathway toward him. Pathway of truth, righteousness, hope, joy, and love, compassion. I'd like to read a little bit over on page 711 in this Book of Mormon. We're a Book of Mormon church, I feel like. We sometimes use the word restoration, or a restoration of truth and the practices of a church. Well, there was something I intended to read before that, but I guess I'll read that. No, I'll go back to this. Maybe. I guess I'll go ahead of this 7-Eleven. I mentioned it. And because of the redemption of man, starting down at the bottom of the page, verse 72 on page 710. And because of the redemption of man which came by Jesus Christ, they are brought back into the presence of the Lord. Yea, this is wherein all men are redeemed. Is there an evil thought that Satan puts in the heart of the people of the world? I don't think it's going to touch the group here that's here tonight or many others. But he does. He says the Lord redeemed all people. But not this redemption only brings us, as it says here, to the judgment. Back into his presence to the judgment. I'm going to need something more to get beyond that judgment and into the presence of God. Just go no more out. This is wherein all men are redeemed, because the death of Christ bringeth to pass the resurrection. which bringeth to pass a redemption from an endless sleep, from which sleep all men shall be awake by the power of God, when the trump shall sound. And they shall come forth, both small and great, and all shall stand before his bar, being redeemed, and loosed from this eternal band of death, which death is a temporal death. Then cometh the judgment of the Holy One upon them. Then cometh the time that he that is filthy shall be filthy still, and he that is righteous shall be righteous still, and he that is happy shall be happy still, a plan of happiness, and he that is unhappy shall be unhappy still. I think, I don't particularly like to read that to me, but I think I need to think about that. And you do too. Because this great gift of the resurrection brings us back from an endless sleep. And the place I want to go is to the paradise of God. And that's where the righteous are. I'll read a little bit over here from fourth chapter of Mormon. I'm going to start up at the top of the page on page 710. Do you suppose you could be happy to dwell with that holy being when your souls are racked with a consciousness of your guilt that you've ever abused his laws? Behold, I say, and you'd be more miserable to dwell with the holy and just God under the consciousness of your filthiness before him than you would to dwell with the damned souls in hell. For behold, when you shall be brought to see the nakedness before God, and also the glory of God, and the holiness of Jesus Christ, it will kindle a flame of unquenchable fire upon you. Oh, then, ye unbelieving, turn ye unto God. Cry mightily unto the Father in the name of Jesus, that perhaps ye may be found spotless, pure, fair, and white, having been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb at that great and last day. I'm going to go down to 68. For do we not read that the God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? In him is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. We know the Lord that created us, that will judge us the last day, and that draws us to him with his infinite love, whose emblems we've partaken of this day, whose thoughts of good he places. All good things come of him. We have taken upon us his name, and the desire of our heart is to serve him to the end of these days of life that he gives us. And we accept the joys he gives us along the way. And to me, this evening has been one of those joys. Read my little poem that I like so well at the end. No matter what else you are doing, this last book, from the cradle days through to the end, you're writing your life secret story. Each day sees another page penned. Each month ends a 30-day chapter. Each year means the end of a part, and never an act is misstated, or even one wish of the heart. Each day when you wake, the book opens, revealing a page clean and white. What thoughts and what words and what doings will cover its pages by night? God leaves that to you, you're the writer, and every word shall grow dim till the day you write the word finish and give your life books back to Him. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. A few announcements. By popular demand, we will have worship and song this coming Wednesday, June the 6th. It will be followed by a social hour, so please bring finger food snacks. Drinks will be furnished by the social committee. I'll be out of town, but your assistant pastor, Glenn Gill, will be in charge of the service, and Gary Hauschnick has volunteered to direct the music. That's right, okay? Please plan to make a special musical offering if you have that talent. Have a good time and keep us in your prayers. We're going to be out in the weather, I guess. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Coming events, let's see. Saturday, sand volleyball. Time and place to be announced. Any word on that yet from the young people? No? Okay. Saturday, June 16th, will be the wedding of Matt Case and Tabitha Sheldon at 2 o'clock. Saturday, June the 23rd, YPCL fundraiser Untalent Show here at church at 6:30 p.m. The whole church is invited. Plan to come and support the YPCL and contact your YPCL leaders for details. Remember those that were administered to this morning, and also Megan Morgan, who is still in the hospital and will be, I understand, till Tuesday. We are going to close. Yes? Pardon? Oh, all right. I'm sorry, I missed that note. Steve Kimball's parents, Mike and Barbara Kimball, have almost, and that's in quotes, got their home sold. Please pray for them that the sale will close and they will soon be moving to Independence. This has been a long dream of theirs, and it looks like maybe it's going to come to fruition. So remember them in your prayers also. Thank you. We're closing tonight with hymn number 192. 192.
My God.
righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege we have to come to thy house for thy gospel of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you will give us the strength and the discernment to follow the leadings of thy Spirit, that in the days ahead we might truly serve thee and be a witness. We would pray also for those in need, those that were administered to this day, or Sister Megan in hospital, and the Kimballs. Oh Lord, there is much work to be done and a few to do it. But we thank you for your guidance and your love for this place, our freedom. We ask that you go with us now as we go to our homes, as we go to our work and play in the days ahead, that we might indeed serve thee. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.